I'll be speaking on a project between myself, Dr. Thompson, Dr. Hale, and Schlegel worked on, and this was based on really on what some growers were asking the question about white wheat and can we use white wheat in a dual-purpose system. Give a little background on hard white winter wheat. It's preferred by millers, bakers, consumers, and it was estimated that we should be seeing about a 9% price premium from white wheat. However, production has been very low. The last report for 2007 is there was only 340,000 hectares, and this represents less than 2% of the total winter wheat production. So despite the fact that there should be this higher demand and price premium, it really hasn't happened. The primary production has been in Kansas with 130,000 hectares, in Colorado at 80, and if you look back over the years, these two states have kind of had the most production, but again, it's been very, very, very low production. The reason why is some challenges to white wheat production was some of the earlier varieties that were released. They were more susceptible to sprouting, and you know, when the wheat sprouts, then a lot of that was sold for feed wheat and at very large discounts, and so farmers got burned and weren't interested in growing white wheat. And then the other problem is that the producers and the elevators must have to segregate this product. Now there are some areas where growers have gone together, and there are some niche markets that have been created, and they're marketing the white wheat and they are able to get some incentive and a little better price, but it's been pretty small. So really the underlying problem is there just hasn't been the economic incentive to grow white wheat. And we're thinking as well there was growers interested in using white wheat in a dual purpose system, and if the growers in the Kansas, Oklahoma, and a lot of areas where they use wheat in a dual purpose system, and those of you that aren't familiar with what a dual purpose system is, that's where they'll graze the winter wheat in the end of the fall and up to first haul of stamina and pull cattle off and then harvest that for yield. So some of the objectives were to determine if the forage yield to determine if there are forage yield and nutritive value differences between the hard white and hard red winter wheat, and then also look at specific red and white varieties and look to see what that variability is within a color class. These were on-farm studies at two locations in southwest Kansas, in Clark and Stanton counties. This was done over the course of two growing seasons, and the rotation in this area was a continuous winter wheat. And this area typically grazes, or commonly grazes, from about 1st of November to mid-March. The study was done in an area that was grazed, but the study was excluded from grazing, and four applications was used. We had 12 varieties, 6 red and 6 white. The red varieties that we were grown was 2137, Jagling, Jagger, OK 101, Stanton, and Thunderbolt. And then the white varieties were Burchett, Lakin, New Frontier, New Hills, New Horizon, and Trigo. Forage yield was measured in December for that fall production, March for early spring, and then May, which would represent the crop taken either as a graze out or for hay production. And this was done by clipping quadrats to the cutting height of the swather, around 2 to 4 centimeters. Nutritive value was measured was a crude protein, acid detergent fiber, NDF, total digestible nutrients, and nitrate and nitrogen. Today I'll just show some data on yield, crude protein, TDN, and nitrate and nitrogen. There's a lot of too much information on that slide, and this is actually averaged over sites and years. But what I want to show you here is the color group. We have the color group on the left, the red, the 6 red, and the 6 white varieties. And this was the forage yield taken at December, March, May, and the total or the cumulative of that production. The yield is shown here in kilograms per hectare. And then what I've done is I've created a rank, and this is done using Fisher's LSD separation. This was done doing a pairwise t-test. And so I've created a rank where we have poor being the lowest, and then a below average, average, and above average. What I want to show here is this is kind of interesting. Is if you look at a red variety like 2137, its cumulative was average, but if you look at the May, it was above average, and then in the fall and early spring, it's average. And then you take a look at something like Thunderbolt, that was an above average variety. It was above average in May, but if you look back here in the fall, it was actually a below average variety. So oftentimes, when you measure forage yield and what your intended purpose of it is, depends on whether that variety would be a good variety to grow in a dual purpose system. Take a look at the white variety like Trigo. It was an above average variety, and compared to the other white varieties, it was above average compared to all the other white varieties at every point of that growing season. So I think that's an important point. We saw variety and harvest date being significant and having a large impact, and that is that, like what I just pointed out with the varieties, harvest date, December yields were always higher. The December harvest date and May harvest date were always higher than that early spring. There just hasn't been very much substantial growth. And color was significant. In that first year, the red varieties had greater forage yield than white. However, the variability within a variety class was greater than the difference between variety classes. And actually, the variety of this test that produced the best, it wasn't a protected test to compare red and white, so that wasn't done. But if you just look at the averages, Trigo was one of the best varieties across all the growing seasons. So even though there was a significant difference in color, I think that's it's irrelevant. And really, the variety you select is really the important message. Okay, next couple of slides are more simplified. And basically, if you look, I've just told you the results. Here, this is looking at crude protein. Again, I have the red varieties grouped and the white varieties grouped. The blue bar was that December crude protein. March is going to be the early spring. The yellow bar is in May. And then this lighter green bar is the average of the different the harvest dates. So we saw differences in variety, but really those differences were not biologically important. Harvest date, we did see a significant impact that the December and early spring had much higher crude protein concentrations than the May harvest, and color was not a significant factor. Looking at total digestible nutrients, the color scheme is the same for these different harvest dates. With total digestible nutrients, which that's based on calculation from ADF and NDF, variety, there was some differences between these varieties, but biologically that really wasn't important enough to select, say, one variety was better than the other. Harvest date was significant. Again, that May harvest had lower TDN, and color was not significant. Nitrate nitrogen, this was kind of interesting. We know that wheat can have high nitrate concentration, but kind of surprising that we saw some of the high levels that we did. we saw the year had an impact, variety had an impact, harvest date had impacts. Some certain varieties, such as New Frontier, the white wheat, tended to have lower nitrate accumulation than some of the other varieties. Harvest date, that spring harvest, seemed to have a higher nitrogen concentration. We looked at, there's quite a few things that can increase nitrate concentration. That can be cloudy weather, drought conditions. When we look back over the weather parameters, however, we really didn't see anything that would really indicate why we saw these high nitrate concentrations. So that's something that we need to be aware of and make sure we disseminate to people, because nitrogen concentrations greater than 350 part per million can be, and as that level increases, the danger of feeding that is goes up. So some of this could have been some potential harmful effects to cattle grazing it. In conclusion, for color, we saw the red varieties did have greater forage yield in 1 year, but as I said, the variability within varieties was larger than across color groups, and that white variety Trigo, for example, had the greatest average forage yield of all varieties. So there is a lot of potential for selecting white varieties that would be a very good dual-purpose yielding variety. There was no differences in nutrient value between color groups. If we look at the variety, there was yield differences, but there was also differences by harvest date. And I think this is awfully important and an important piece of information, because really that indicates that producer really needs to select a variety based on its intended dual purpose use. So do you plan on just grazing in the fall and then getting cattle off, or do you plan on haying that variety or grazing out? Well, depending on what the purpose, what your intended use is, that would affect what variety you choose. And there, another thing we can consider doing is mixing more than one variety. So if you want to do both the fall graze and graze out, then you may want to plant a mixture so that you can get the best of both worlds. We really need more forage yield variety testing. There's really not a whole lot of information on that, and for the area that does this dual purpose use, I think this is lacking. There is some information on fall testing, but not much information on spring testing, and so this is something I think that we should try to include when we can into our variety trials and some of our county, maybe some of our county variety trials. But taking forage yield data is sometimes it can require more work than just having a cooperator cut with a combine and a weigh bucket. So I think there are some things we can try and work on there and encourage cooperators to collect some cuttings and try and get some idea of these forage yield differences. Harvest date. Not surprising, nutrient value always decreases as the plant matures, so we saw that. And we also saw the nitrogen increase, and it was higher than we would expect. So we really need to test our feed for nitrogen.